Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. We are about to have a very interesting conversation. I want you to join us here. Before I get into that, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Women's Health for every stage of a woman's life, offering compassionate care and comprehensive obstetric and gynecological services from routine exams to specialized pelvic surgery. More information is available at 1-800-492-5538, or you can go to www.umm.edu/womencenter. Again, 1-800-492-5538 for the University of Maryland Women's Health. We are speaking of women's health is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the controversy that, at least on the surface here in the last several weeks, came over President Barack Obama's saying that all contraceptive services have to be paid for by insurance companies, no matter what the institution is. Expected backlash from Catholic institutions and other institutions came about. He switched gears. That didn't work. And we'll talk about switching gears in a minute. This is about contraception. It's about health care. And it is also interesting to look at this whole year we've gone through where there's been a battleground in many states in the United States of America over abortion rights and over access to contraception and prenatal services. So we're going to tackle that this hour. One of our guests, Loretta Ross, is National Coordinator of the Sister Strong Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective. And Loretta, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Pleasure. Horace Cooper is Adjunct Fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research and a former professor of constitutional law at George Mason University in Virginia. And Horace, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on the program.
410-319-8888 is the number here. What are your thoughts about this and where this should go? And I'm curious. Let's just take a very broad question here. And Horace Cooper, we'll start with you, then go to Loretta Ross. In a broad sense for our listening audience, talk about what you think is happening here at the moment. What is going on in America with this debate? And we'll start with Horace and go to Loretta.
Well, here's what I see that happened. The administration is working out many of the rulemakings that are necessary for the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. In the course of doing that, they worked on how to define benefits packages and decided that it was important to include contraception as part of the basic benefits package. And the problem occurred when they determined how they were going to define who might be exempt from this particular requirement. And when that particular definition came down, the definition was narrower than most of the existing state exemptions on similar issues. And as a result, this outrage occurred. It's my analysis that the narrow definition that is being used and the compromise that's being addressed, neither of them would be sufficient to sustain a First Amendment challenge that the exemption tramples religious liberty.
And Loretta?
Well, there's a couple of comments I would make to
Please
that.
Do.
First of all, if you don't want to use birth control, don't use it. Secondly, the same insurance companies that are being mandated to cover birth control quite often already cover Viagra. So we're talking about women being discriminated against, and we're talking about the absence of women's voices in this debate. We are not talking about birth control for men. The only reliable one for men is either a vasectomy or a condom. We are talking about women, and the fact that Congress would have a hearing today with 9 men testifying and intentionally exclude women, even elected women, from this discussion just shows how sexist this whole conversation is when the people whose bodies are at risk can't even be allowed to raise our voices in defense of ourselves.
Well, let's just take that one piece for a minute. I think that as I talked to some of my people today, people who are honestly against abortion in America, all had, one of the people I talked to, they had the same issue with this as Loretta did, Horace. When you saw that hearing today, and I watched part of it and read about it online this afternoon, it was pretty shocking to have this issue, which is really affects women, whether you agree with the right to contraception or not, or right to abortion or not, and not a, there's not a woman's voice in the entire hearing. Did you find that odd?
I guess what I find odd is if that particular argument was put in a brief and put before the Supreme Court on the question of whether or not this exemption meets constitutional tests, that would get laughed out of court even by the women on the Supreme Court. The issue here is a straightforward one. Does the Constitution require people who have sincere religious objections to receive an exemption from mandates that otherwise would be applicable to everyone?
That, but that's not what I asked. What I asked was, do you find it odd when we're talking about something to do with women's health that not a woman testified or had anything to say?
About. The uproar is not about women's health. The uproar is...
Contraception is not about women's health.
The HHS issued a regulation, and there has been an uproar. Now, if you want to tell me that this uproar really was about women getting upset, show me the evidence. The actual issue is an HHS regulation got issued, and there has been a backlash because it is being challenged as being unlawful. Yes or no,
also,
the court are going to answer that question.
But what's also unlawful is for religious institutions to receive taxpayer funds and then try to exempt themselves from following the same laws that anybody else getting taxpayer funds have to follow. That's also a constitutional issue. You can't take taxpayer money and then define for yourself which laws are governing that money you're going to follow or not follow.
The Supreme Court in January just answered that specific question, and they answered it 9-0. A tax-exempt church organization is allowed to hire and fire, discriminate based on gender.
That was church. You said church. We're talking about hospitals. We're talking about universities. That was narrower than what we're talking about.
Let's be clear. It was a school, and that tax-exempt
A church school.
Held 9-0 to be allowed to discriminate based on gender and be exempt when it was being challenged by the EEOC. These arguments that are being put forward are just not consistent with the law. I can be disappointed. I can be frustrated. I can say any number of things. But I was asked to come on the program and talk about the legality of this issue.
Well, it's not just the legality of the issue. We're talking about the larger social consequence of the issue as well. And what this says about the debates we've been having in this country for the last 40-some years over this issue.
And longer than that, with the 1873 Comstock law that forbid women from using birth control, we've been fighting this fight since the 19th century, and we're waiting for these people who are opposed to women using birth control to finally catch up to the 21st century.
Well, let me. There are a lot of issues here, and I think that. We'll see what a Supreme Court will say. I mean, we could have constitutional scholars from the other side who would probably argue just as vehemently, Mr. Cooper, that it is unconstitutional to deny any of their employees what other employees would get as insurance. And that debate could take place. I think that needs to take place. And is taking place.
I guess I would challenge that. I don't even think even Mr. Obama would make that point. They are originally offered an exemption saying that churches were included, and any closely affiliated entities that reached out to other members. Now they've come up with a compromise, and they're saying that almost all church-affiliated organizations, even the ones that don't, are going to be exempt, but they say that exemption will occur by letting the insurance companies pay for it themselves. But my point is, no one really is seriously challenging the idea that religious entities ought to be given and individuals who have religious objections ought to be given an exemption. No one really challenges that.
I wonder what, beyond that particular constitutional issue that we're arguing here.
I think that religious institutions are allowed a great deal of freedom in our country. We are a country of religious freedom. We also have to interpret religious freedom as not only freedom of religion, but freedom from religion. And if I happen to work at Catholic University of America and I'm a Baptist, I'm not quite sure why they should have to say so over whether or not my insurance company, for which I pay for, offers me birth control. It is not a, we do not have a society where other people's religious values are allowed to be imposed upon the rest of us. And if you want to live in that kind of theocracy, I'm sure there are those countries available for you to live in. But this is America, where we have freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. And that's the side we are fighting on. And I'm sorry, but to cast this as a freedom of religion discussion when it's about the freedom to discriminate, which is the same argument that Bob Jones University made when it said it didn't have to allow black students. I mean, there is no constitutional right to discriminate.
I wonder if when you both see what's going on here and you see President Barack Obama trying to walk this line, and he's known in these last several years as President of the United States of America as somebody who kind of bends over backwards to make a compromise to make it work. It doesn't always work that way, but it seems that we're not that place in America. Is there a place where this works, where women in who work for institutions that may be controlled by the Catholic Church, whether it's a university or a hospital or a school or whatever that institution would be, and 90% of all Catholics in America practice birth control, could be covered without it being paid for by an institution, Horace Cooper, that doesn't...
Well, the current compromise does not require the institutions to pay for it. There are what they call self-financed health care plans within Catholic institutions, but again, the employees pay for that. So basically, what the people who are opposed to this are saying is that even though I pay for my health insurance, whether it's through a private commercial company like Blue Cross Blue Shield or a self-financed commercial plan, I'm paying for it, but I still have no say in whether or not part of my premiums go towards contraceptive coverage because of the religious objections of the institution, even though they're not putting any money up for the decision. So, this is so unfair.
So, Horace?
If only that description was accurate in that the individual themselves were actually paying for it. In fact, what I would say is the solution would be an amazing one, is to find issues like this one where instead of we rely on our employer to make decisions for us, or lawfully they're required to in some instances, why don't we shift the model and we let employees directly be responsible for the provisioning of their own health care, shift away from an employer insurance model to an employee provided model.
So we have millions of us now instead of having the power of
problem we're going to see here is, some people are going to say they don't like the Kathleen Sebelius HHS rules when the Obama Affordable Health Care Act is in place. But if, say, Mr. Gingrich comes in and he places a person in who shifts the policies in a different direction, other people will rise up and say they don't agree and that they have moral concerns. A much better system, instead of having a government-run one or a government-heavily influenced one, is one that says, let's put this back in your hands. If you want one that doesn't do this, you can have it. If you want one that does, you can have it.
Loretta?
Well, first of all, individual negotiations with insurance companies have proven not to necessarily work too good for us. I mean, let's be clear. We're at the mercy of these large corporate forces who can deny until the Affordable Care Act coverage for people with previous conditions, can kick people out that they think are health risks. I mean, we are fighting for our patients' Bill of Rights against an insurance industry that is not going to negotiate fairly with individuals. So that's rather utopian to think that we can just return all of the power back to individuals and they will be able to get a fair shake from insurance companies. We wouldn't even need health care reform if we were already getting a fair shake from insurance companies. They have to be forced by someone with the power to make them, like the government, to even begin to level the playing field. I don't have any utopian hope that insurance companies, if they were allowed to disaggregate us and deal with us individually, that they will not continue to avoid paying as many claims as possible.
Let me open the phones here, 410-319-8888. What are your thoughts on this debate going on now in America? Where should we go? What should be the answer? We're going to cover some other issues about what's going on around the country and other states around the country where access to contraception is being challenged and abortion rights being challenged in ways that haven't happened in maybe 40 years in America since Roe v. Wade. And we'll get your thoughts on that as well. 410-319-8888. Let's get some women on the line here. We got a lot of men. Let's try some women. But since we have men, let's go to them. And Hank, you're on the air.
How you doing today, Mr. Stein?
Good, Hank. Good to hear from you.
Here's the thing. Right?
I cannot hear him.
Hank, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
A little better, yeah.
Okay. It's not the constitutional rights. It's constitutional rights. Let's get that understand, right? Most of our rules are set up for white men and then white women and trickle down to, right? You have to understand that we live in it's not religiously free. You can practice your own religion, but we're based upon a Catholic religion because we broke off from England, which is a Catholic country. So if you don't want to deal with the Catholic rules, you can't, you're not getting around that. But here's the thing, right? Who says that the Catholic Church is right to tell what women can and cannot do, right? And how is it not right for somebody to give their money to a place to say, all right, I'm going to give my stuff to this place for somebody to have breast cancer, and then the Catholic Church say, well, we're not going to support you for doing that because these people want to take care of abortion. That is wrong. Most Catholics are such hypocrites.
Okay,
right?
let me,
that's my opinion. It's not my
right.
Faith opinion.
All right.
Right? And then another thing is this, right? Why is it that the woman doesn't have the right to say what goes on with her body? Because trust me, if they told us to cut off our little guys, man, we'd be up in arms and letting them have it.
Okay, Hank, thank you. Let me just say before we let our guests kind of jump in here and respond that this piece of historical fact, this wasn't, I mean, England was not a Catholic country.
Right.
But the state of Maryland, where we're talking from, was settled by as a Catholic colony, and it's not just about the power of the Catholic Church. This is part of it, but it's also just the whole debate over contraception and women's right to choose. This is all wrapped up in the same debate. It's very hard to disconnect them, I think, in many ways. But let me let my guests respond. Loretta, then Horace.
Well, I feel that your caller made a couple of important points, and I was very glad to hear them from the voice of a man, and that is, why can't women be treated just like any other human being that happens to be male and determine what happens to our own bodies? We are not forcing men to take Viagra. We are not forcing men to use or not use birth control. Why is it that women get singled out for special discrimination and a bunch of men think it's okay? There's something so un-American and unfair about that. It almost brings me to tears to continue this fight for over 100 years. This has just got to end, people.
Horace Cooper.
Well, I was maybe 10 or 11 years old when Jimmy Carter was president, and there was a similar dust-up, and it was over the issue of, and it just came up at the dinner table, and it was over the issue of whether or not federally funded taxpayer abortions would be provided. And his administration apparently saw that there was some value in having those subsidized by taxpayers. There was a huge hue and cry that occurred, and eventually Congress rammed through in 1978 the first of several of the Henry Hyde prohibitions on federal fundings of abortion. The lesson that came about from that was in that upcoming election in 1980, there was an argument being made by two candidates. One was a guy by the name of Ronald Reagan, and the other was the president, saying, give me another term, and I'm going to fight to overturn this and move us back in the progressive direction that we want to go. Mr. Obama's signature achievement is that many people talk about is this health care bill. And yet Gallup and all of the other survey companies tell us it is increasingly becoming unpopular, so unpopular that the candidates challenging him try to get cheers at the point of threat of repeal. When Mr. Carter lost in 1980, and there I was, a kid, I cried over it. I was surprised. I didn't see it coming. He not only lost huge by more than 10 points,
right, right.
but he lost 12 Senate seats. Control shifted dramatically. Do you know what kind of change will happen if you see something like that come again? You got to be sensitive to the issues that are occurring. Mr. Obama won the Catholic vote in 2008. He cannot afford to run again and lose that vote. To argue
I don't
that
think
there
there's a real
risk
of President Obama losing the Catholic vote. Catholics don't even listen to their own bishops. I mean, let us be clear. The bishops do not control the Catholic vote. They, matter of fact, the skirts have been pulled off of that myth because when you got 98% of Catholics using birth control and the entirety of the bishopric saying they shouldn't, I'm not so sure that they can speak for the Catholic vote. And so I think it's presumptuous and pretentious for us to presume that men can speak for Catholic voters in general and Catholic women in particular because the data simply isn't there. But I wanted to go to another point that you raised, which is very substantive. The Hyde Amendment, by the way, was passed in 1976, not 1978, and it was upheld by the Supreme Court in 1977. What it basically did was say that poor women, women in the military, women on Indian reservations, all women whose health care is provided by the federal government shall be discriminated against because, quote, taxpayer dollars shall not be used for abortions. All we did with the Hyde Amendment was set up one class of women whose insurance company are self-paid for abortion coverage and another class of women, including our women fighting in Afghanistan and Iran, who say that
Iraq.
They cannot get their coverage. And so when we discriminate against women in the military, women on Indian reservations, or women simply because they're poor, and we're self-righteous about it and say, well, at least my taxpayer dollars aren't paying for that. Our taxpayer dollars are paying for them to go to Iran and get killed, and yet we won't sit up here and give them the same rights that other women have. We are sanctioning discrimination, and I think that that is wrong, unconstitutional, and I'm so sorry the Supreme Court upheld the Hyde Amendment, and we've been fighting for 30 years to get it repealed because, again, it simply isn't fair that you can die for your country, but you can't get free of discrimination.
Let me open the phones again. We'll come right back to both of our guests. Loretta Ross, you just heard, National Coordinator for the Sisterhood Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective. Horace Cooper is an adjunct fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research, also a former professor of constitutional law at George Mason University. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Let's go to Maria. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. It's Maria Allwine from Baltimore.
Hi, Maria. How are you? It's been a while.
I'm pretty good. I want to say that Ms. Ross is making some extremely important and cogent points, and I just want to tack on to that. You know, treating women as equals and safeguarding their reproductive health and their sexual health is a really direct assault on the male-dominated institutions that are just about all churches around the world. And, you know, for them to admit that women are full-fledged human beings really does challenge the authority of so much dogma and, the hierarchical institutions of these churches, which are male-dominated. So it's really, really precious how people cloak. The right wing has been very good at cloaking these arguments in legalistic terms, but really it's an assault on women. It's an assault on our sexual and reproductive lives and our right to control those. Religion, an institution, a church, nobody in a church, whether it's male or female, has the right to tell me what I can and cannot do with my body. There is no infringement on religious freedom over this issue, but as Ms. Ross said, I have the right to be free from religion in this country, and that's the only thing that has made this country what it once was, but is no longer today, unfortunately. But it's what keeps us from fighting each other, and we need to fight for the freedom from religion, and we do need to continue to fight for women's reproductive and sexual health, which is completely under assault. This has nothing to do with legalities, no matter how much they couch it in those terms.
Maria, thanks for your call. Before we go to break, we have a few minutes before break, and before we go to any callers, I wonder, I mean, if what we're talking about here in many ways is really is really the divide that has America in its grip at the moment, in the throes of contention, which are two very substantive and different visions of this country. And if that is really at the heart of all this, I'm just curious about your quick thoughts. We'll take a quick break and come back to that, and then we'll go to callers, Nefertiti, Clarence, John, and get all of you on the air. We are talking about the battle over contraception in the halls of Congress and the White House now. 410-319-8888 is the number. Before we go there, I need to tell you, what do I need to tell you? I need to tell you that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. The number is 1-800-638-7781. If you're a first or second-time home buyer, you can purchase a home here in Baltimore. 1-800-638-7781. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back to our program this evening. Before we jump into our conversation, I want to tell you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it is a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. For more information, you can go to www.mecu.com, or you can log on to steinershow.org and click on their banner. And also, very quickly, we're rounding the last days of this exhibit. WEAA presents the Zimbabwe Shona Stone exhibit, curated by Beverly Carter and Lewis Hudnell, and presented by the Zimbabwe Gallery. Join us for the closing reception and gallery talk this Tuesday, February 28th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. here at WEAA Studios, sponsored by AXA Advisors. Information available at weaa.org. We are joined here today by Horace Cooper, adjunct fellow with the National Center of Public Policy Research, former professor of constitutional law, George Mason, columnist and writer, Loretta Ross, national coordinator for the Sister Song Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective. 410-319-8888 is the number here. And let me ask that question that I asked before. I mean, what we're seeing here, I think this is part, to me anyway, of a battleground between two very different visions of America that have been coming to the fore over the last, for a long time, but really kind of picked up in the last 40 years, in the last 10 years over this election, have become even more intense. And is this not just, I mean to belittle it that way, isn't this part of that battleground between between those visions? And Horace Cooper, I mean, I'll start with you because, I mean, you as a columnist, I've read your work. I mean, I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Well, I do think that the conflict that is occurring may be a manifestation. But again, on the more narrower question, and I'll speak of the broader, but on the narrower question, this particular conflict could have been avoided. The caller that suggested that issues involving women's rights, reproductive health care, contraception access, there is a legitimate dispute over the question of whether or not a right to an abortion is meaningful, primarily if it's subsidized or not. Some people say yes, some people say no. Similarly, there's this discussion with that regard to contraception. Now, it is my own view that the ubiquity of contraception generally in pharmacies, the ability to go to clinics on college campuses and many public high schools, it really makes it a challenge if I go to Gallup, and I'm wrapping up, if I go to Gallup and I say, for the last 10 years, please list for me the top problems facing America, contraception and contraception access don't make the list. So Yes, it does seem like that there is some greater divide that is explaining these kinds of conflicts. But I'm when I look at them, I wonder, in this case, couldn't this one have been avoided?
Loretta?
Oh, wow. Well, I think that what we're fighting now is the type of religious intolerance that the pilgrims came here to get away from. And that's all I can say about that, that freedom of religion is a cornerstone of American values. Freedom from religion is another cornerstone of American values. But what we're facing and have always faced since the founding of our country is that people tried to use a religious cloak to disguise their will and desire to discriminate. They use religion to justify slavery. Now they're using religion to justify discrimination against women. And there is no way those of us who believe that America is the land of the free are going to let them get away with it. So this is a very old pre-Enlightenment argument that is trying to take place in the 21st century. And that's why it feels so dated, so antiquated. Like, are we really in the 21st century debating whether or not women have the right to use contraception? I mean, this probably doesn't make sense to many of the young people that we talk to, simply because they can't believe we're still fighting this war 400 years after our country was founded.
Let me return to the phones at 410-319-8888. And Nefertiti, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about something I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Cooper made, that most that Americans, that President Obama's health care bill is increasingly unpopular among Americans. Am I correct in hearing, did I hear him correctly?
Yes.
Yeah. I hear that, and I've heard it and read it often in the papers and, you know, in news reports. I'm just wondering, who is he referring to, you know, Americans? Because the people, most people I know, and I would suspect poor people, people who have not had health care, are they being counted among those Americans who are against this bill? I mean, it's like this general statement that keeps being made as if all people are against it. And I'm wondering, where are they getting, are they polling poor people? Are they polling women who want contraception? You know, where is that information coming from? How are they defining Americans? Because in where I live and students who I talk to, the people I talk to, they are happy for it.
Nefertiti, thanks for your thoughts. You either want to comment, Horace, quickly, and then Loretta, quickly?
Well, could I ask that we make sure that we can stay on this one point? There is no congressman, state legislator, administrator who is trying to prevent people from being able to have contraception. There is no law being proposed in any kind. The only issue is, what should the exemption be for religious organizations with which disagree? And I keep hearing this 400-year-old fight to prevent women from having access to contraception. That is factually not accurate, and your listeners need to understand that that's not what's happening.
Excuse me, but what is happening is that they're trying to pull a bait and switch, and we are sophisticated enough to understand that. We are not forcing any church to provide contraception. We are not forcing any church to issue an opinion about contraception. All we're saying is that women who work for these institutions should have the freedom of conscience to decide for themselves whether or not they use contraception, and they should not be discriminated against simply because they work for these institutions.
It is not a simple
we don't understand like you're accusing us of.
No,
we understand only too well.
Now,
matter of fact, we understand what it's like to be pregnant, which most of our opponents don't understand. We understand what it is like to have a period, which y'all don't understand. So don't even go there.
Now we're in
the hyperbole. Because we don't want to talk about why I'm biologically certain that this is necessary. I'm talking about why it is a public health issue that women have access to contraception.
There is no law attempting to prevent women from being able to get contraception. There is no regulation.
Actually, that's
not
true either. There are regulations against young women having access to contraception.
Let me just jump here so we can hear what both of you are saying. Horace?
Don't make those broad statements that don't bear up to the facts, okay? Let's stay on the topic.
So everybody can hear what everybody is saying. Let me just try to let one finish the other start. Go ahead, Horace. What were you trying to say?
So there is no movement in America to take away contraception from women or from anybody. And with regard to polling, one could argue that one particular set of polls or another may not be as accurate, but when taken collectively, there is a broad consensus that shows not that the Affordable Health Care Act is the most unpopular thing in the world, I would not say that, it is that it is showing that it is increasingly unpopular and that it is a majority of people who are holding the view that it is unpopular. And that's a problem for this president heading into this election cycle.
Would you like me to respond to that?
You may, and then we'll go back to the phones. Go ahead, Loretta.
Well, I actually think that that is more wish than fact. I think that, like the caller Nefertiti said, most people are glad that rules have been put in place that limit the discrimination that insurance companies can practice against those of us who are relatively powerless consumers. Most people are glad to have the Affordable Care Act. I don't think that there's going to be a backlash against the Affordable Care Act beyond the normal backlash that's against having President Obama as president. And I won't even get into why that backlash exists, which would cause us to really stray from the subject. But I do think that it is a challenge to us to not believe these broad statements that are made by opponents of our public policies that the president offers us and that we fight so hard for, but really to seek out the facts for ourselves, that it's really important to not say that, okay, we're going to find some candidate, Reagan-esque-like candidate, to challenge Obama, and I'm looking at the field of contenders right now on the other side, and I say, yeah, find one. And then to have someone say that the American public does not want increased health care coverage and rules put in place to regulate discrimination and insurance companies can get away with, I think that's delusional.
Let me go back to the phones at 410-319-8888, and let us go to, let's see, we have three people who have been holding on for a while. Let's go to Clarence. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Steiner. I totally agree with the lady that's your guest.
Loretta Ross.
It may not be illegal for women to have access to contraceptions in America, but there may be a concerted effort by individual religious groups who want to, by their numbers and their power, to manipulate politicians to deny equal access to them or free access to them that would be afforded to other people. And this argument all boils down to me is that these individual entities, the religious, imposing their moral beliefs to trump the individual rights of the individual. And no, I do not know what it feels like to be pregnant, but I could recognize by the stress on my children's mother's face that that's something that, you know, they can't understand, you know. So I agree wholeheartedly with the lady, and this is just another one of those attempts to impose moral beliefs and religious beliefs on that would trump the individual entity's rights. Thank you.
I wanted to address one other misstatement. There is a concerted attack on birth control taking place legislatively. In the state of Virginia, we're dealing with a personhood bill where they're trying to claim that life begins at conception. Well, if that bill passes, many forms of birth control will be outlawed because it, quote, challenges the unborn life. It failed in Mississippi. It failed in Colorado. But Republican lawmakers around the country are trying to claim that every sperm deserves a name or something.
So it is disingenuous to claim that there's not a concerted attack on birth control. We see it legislatively. I'm not sure what sources the other speaker is looking at, but I'm looking at the legislative reports. I'm looking at the news in Virginia that's demanding that every pregnant woman who is considering an abortion undergo a transvaginal ultrasound. In other words, by law, she will be mandated to spread her legs without her consent so that she can receive an ultrasound she didn't even want. I would like every man who is trying to get a Viagra prescription to be mandated to turn over for a rectal exam. I mean, it's just that crazy.
Horace, I'm sorry.
It is precisely this extremism and distortion that prevents people from getting a good understanding of the nature of the debate, the personhood discussion that happened in Virginia, the authoritative analysis, not the extremist analysis, did not indicate that there was any threat to contraception access as a result of its passage or lack thereof. It is flatly not true to make that claim. And this is part of the problem where you talked about this larger schism that may be dividing us. It is part of the problem. One side says X and the other side screams that it's the end of the world as we know it. Now, if people have sincere disagreements over whether or not the taking of a unborn life is a act that ought to have some sanction associated with it or not is a legitimate question to have, and it does not follow that it means that women aren't equal, that women don't have rights, or that women can't lead. It doesn't mean any of those things. It can mean simply that people want to see that there be some sanction associated with the taking of an unborn life.
And what they want to see, by the way, let's just talk about process here. I try not to call people with whom I ideologically and politically disagree names, and so I would appreciate if you don't call me names like extreme. We are people who disagree intellectually over the same issue. I haven't called you an extremist. I wish you wouldn't call me one. But back to the issue at hand, I do believe that any time the state orders an invasion of my body without my consent, it has reduced me to the status of a second-class citizen. And you want to talk about freedom and conscience. The state has an interest in children who are here. That's fine. But when I'm talking about what I'm holding in my body, I can't force a man to give up a kidney to a child that needs a kidney transplant, and the state shouldn't be able to force a woman to spread her legs so that a doctor is forced to look between her legs to give her an ultrasound that she didn't want just because the state now expresses an interest. And by the way, that transvaginal ultrasound can only be done in the first 3 months of pregnancy anyway, only needs to be done then, because the egg is so small you can't even see it any other way through normal ultrasounds, you know, with the nice thing over your stomach. So in many ways, I feel that those of us who are fighting this, we're passionate about it because we know what it is to be up in those stirrups. We know what it is to raise children. We know what it is to have birth. And we are not going to let people reduce this to just a battle of ideas when it's our bodies, our lives, and our families that are on the line.
And as long as you use that kind of alarmist rhetoric, I'm going to call you out on it. That had absolutely nothing to do with the discussion about contraception access.
Oh, excuse me. I believe that controlling my fertility is my business, and whether I'm not quite sure when it became your business. I'm sorry. This is something that is very important to women, and particularly women in the 21st century. We're not in the 19th century where we didn't have methods that are safe. We're in the 21st century, and
Loretta, excuse me, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought I lost you for a minute. Let me open the phone so you can. A lot of people waiting
to call
in, and let's get a few of these callers on if we can. I think we can fit these three in right here, Julie, John, and AJ. Julie, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. Welcome.
First, I want to say, while I was listening, I think health care is a civil right, and you don't go by popularity because women's vote was not popular. Abolishment of slavery was not popular. Neither civil rights. So we have a right to a lawyer. We have a right to health care. The other thing You there?
Yeah, we're listening to you, Julie.
The other thing is, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool liberal and feminist. I was raised a commune. My parents are hippies. I've also worked for Catholic Charities for 22 years, and they don't provide for our fertility or our infertility. And I don't think they should be forced to. We have all found ways, us women, to get around it. We've all found ways of getting birth control, and birth control does prevent abortions. While I was trying to get pregnant in my mid-30s, there were 10 other women, all of us working there. We found ways to get around that. When we were trying not to get pregnant, we all found ways around that. I don't think they should be forced to go against their conscience. That's all I got to say.
Interesting. Very interesting. Thank you, Julie, for those thoughts.
Well, yeah, generally when there's a situation of discrimination, people do work around it. But the question before us for our conscience is, should they have to?
Yeah, and this is a question of discrimination, true enough. And the First Amendment protects this particular group of people from discriminating treatment, the treatment that disparately causes them to have to choose between their particular moral and philosophical beliefs or compliance with the law.
But that was the same argument, as I said earlier, that Bob Jones University offered when they wanted to racially discriminate. It was violating their freedom of religion. And unfortunately, we live in a country that has said time and time again that discrimination is un-American, no matter what your justification for
it. And what the Supreme Court said in the Bob Jones case is, if they don't want to get the benefits that come from the government subsidy, then they're going to have to comply. If they
and
want
that's what we're
benefits,
asking Catholic churches and hospitals to do. They can give up the government money. They just can't take it and not comply.
The Affordable Care Act regulation does not rely on the utilization of taxpayer dollars. That's exactly the problem. It applies to everyone, regardless of whether they are recipients of taxpayer dollars, regardless of what their particular religious complaint might be or objection. It just says you will do it. It's a mandate that requires an exemption. That's the reason it does. If it were predicated more on only the ones that receive federal funds, then it could stand on stronger ground. And that's the reason
but
I
the
said
bishops
I think
are
that this
arguing,
has been a big misstep on the part of the administration.
But the bishops are arguing that because they run taxpayer-funded institutions that are religiously affiliated, that they should be exempted from the mandate. That is their original argument. Again, they can bait and switch and go to another argument all they want to, but the way that they're shifting their argument doesn't disguise the fact that they're hostile to women's rights, and they really want the freedom to discriminate.
Let me open the phones back here again at 410-319-8888. John, you're on the air.
Yes, I think Mr. Cooper, some of his statements are somewhat misleading. Number one, if you're looking at the polling data, the current polling data, there's a large majority of people who support the president's compromise. And included in as a subgroup are Catholics, and they also supported by a large majority. And when you look at, there are some efforts underway that could restrict access to certain forms of contraceptive. That includes these personhood legislation, and it also includes the Blunt Amendment, which he added an amendment which would not only give religious organizations the right to deny access to contraception, not to pay for it, but also any other employer who might have a conscientious objection to it. And also, there is a Republican candidate who's running for president now, Santorum, who has said that if he's elected president, he would seek to overturn the Griswold's decision. So that the right wing is trying to make these cultural issues a major issue in the upcoming election. But the upcoming election will not be decided on health care or this particular issue we're talking about now. It will be decided on the economy,
which they'd rather not talk about because it's getting better.
So, thank you, John, for your call. Let's try to get one more call and you can come back to our guest to close out this hour. AJ, you're on the air.
Hi. So I just want to ask a question. So, every taxpayer actually pays money, including women, why do the religious leaders or the politicians, who are predominantly men, try to impose any laws on them? Because it's up to them to decide, and they pay their equal share in terms of the tax. Why do the women doesn't get to decide what they really want to do?
All right, let's have some closing thoughts here. And I appreciate the call, AJ, and I think it's a good question. Why don't you go ahead, Horace, then we'll go to Loretta.
There are a couple observations here. One, of course, to clarify, I never actually gave any polling numbers with regard to the contraception mandate or the exemption or the compromise. What I talked about was the Affordable Care Act, and that is a range of surveys all across. The larger issue is, it is not accurate to go around making the statement that an exemption, as the senator from the Senate Majority Leader, Mr. Reid, is talking about allowing a vote on, there are going to be Democrats and Republicans who are likely to support a broad exemption that simply says that anyone who raises an objection will not have to pay for it. Will that pass or not? I don't know the answer to that, but I will tell you it will have bipartisan support. So it's not a question of Republican versus Democrat. And you can check out Mr. Santorum's website, where you can see information in which he explains he is taking no position on what he would do with regard to the accessibility and availability of contraception. He said he was remarking about the legality of the Griswold decision itself and not about the status as a matter of public policy.
Loretta Ross.
Well, it's interesting that I just saw a video of Mr. Santorum on CNN this morning talking about how uncomfortable he was with contraception. But that's a whole other point. I think that it's going to be important that this election is going to decide whether or not we're in the 21st century or will we be shoved backwards, whether it's on labor rights, whether it's on civil rights, whether it's on women's rights, whether it's rights for immigrants or gays and lesbians. We're fighting people that are trying to repeal the entire 20th century. And when we get over our amazement and our jaw picks up off the ground, we're determined not to let them do so. However artfully they say it, however they disguise it with misleading statements and polls, we can read in between the lines and know that we are suffering an attack on human rights and freedom, and we're not going to let them get away with it. We're moving forward whether or not they keep up with us or not.
I would appreciate your time, both of you have given our listeners today. Loretta Ross, National Coordinator of Sister Song Women of Color Reproductive Health Collective, Horace Cooper, Adjunct Fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research. It's been a pleasure to have you both on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And all of you, thank you for calling in and making the show what it is, with your cogent thoughts and ideas for our guests and this very critical subject for the future of our country and for women's health. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. We're about to take a break. When we come back, we'll be going to our weekly soundbites feature this week, talking about the bill in the state legislature being battled over arsenic in the chicken feed that the chickens eat. So stay with us. We'll be right back.